You know, it is so easy to get discouraged with daily life. We don't always notice when we allow discouragement to settle in or begin to affect us that our vision can begin to wane. Please don't put the title up yet. Thanks. Thank you. No, you did great. You did perfect. Our fervor can lessen. Our joy can slip. Discouragement. Daily life and living. But Jesus speaks to us. And he says, it's time to lift your vision. It's time to catch the wind of the Spirit as an eagle. It is time to fly higher. It's time to lift up and soar as the Christians that he's called us to be. Now, I preached a long time ago a message, and you can choose to be, if you want, a chicken who pecks the ground, or you can be an eagle who soars in his presence. I'd like to see a show of hands and how many want to be chickens who peck the ground. Let me see both hands go up if you want to be an eagle who soars. I want to be an eagle who soars in the presence of the Lord. Spring up, O well. Part 4, which is about eagle vision. Perfect, Pat. That's perfect timing for it. Thank you. Eagle vision. In January of 2015, a woman from Ontario, Canada, who was blind from the time she was a child. Upper picture, please. Just focus on that for a minute. She was blind from the time she was a child. I believe legally blind is 20/200. She had 20/2400. But she had a baby. And because there had been the development of a technology device, she could put it on. And she remarked as she looked at her baby with this technology, look how long his toes are. And began to just be amazed because she could see her little infant. Christopher Ward Jr., 12 years old, start over at the picture closest to that wall. Legally blind his entire life. His optic nerve never developed before he was born. He and his mother, Marquita, traveled to Washington, D.C. so he could try the same device, a new wearable technology called eSight. It allows people with vision loss to be able to see with unprecedented visual clarity. And what you have are two pictures. The emotional moment of him seeing his mom for the first time, and over there, he's looking at her saying, oh, there you are, Mommy. And over here, in this one, she bursts into tears as he goes, and how pretty you are. There's an ability with vision to see, to touch, relate, understand when our vision is working right. We try to correct it when it begins to fail. How many's vision began to fail? Oh, age 40. Sometimes it simply means in our hearts that we need to wait on him as our spiritual vision gets rekindled. Oh God, open my eyes to see you. My ears, dig them out to hear you, but my eyes to see you. I want to soar into the heavenlies. Let me have your heart and vision. Lord, allow me to soar like the eagles. Jesus wants us, I'm going to say it again, to lift our vision. How many want a lifted vision in the Lord this morning? It's regular, for regular checkups we do for our eyes. This is one of those regular checkups for our spiritual eyes this morning. Isaiah 40, verse 31, New King James, but those who wait on the Lord, please read it with me, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And out of the Message it says, but those who wait upon God get what? Fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. Church, what is so special about eagle vision? Eagle vision. Bald eagles, by the way, are only in North America. By the way, you may or may not know that bald eagles mate for life. They nurse and they incubate the little ones or the eggs until they hatch. And they build a nest together. And a nest can last a long time. And every year they build it up some more distance. And they have a regular home throughout their lives. But they hang in there together. But there are so many perspectives to learn. They're renowned for excellent eyesight. They've got two centers of focus that allow the birds to both see forward and at the side at the same time. Did you know a bald eagle is capable of seeing fish in the water from several hundred feet above? Now, how many have ever been fishing? You know it's sometimes tricky to see them a few feet away. But from several hundred feet above. See, it's an extraordinary feat. And the reason is, as many of you or most of you may know, it's called countershading. Most fish are countershaded, which means they're darker on top. The lighter part is on the bottom. And that's because then they are harder to see. Eagles have eyelids that can close or close during sleep. But even when they close their eyes, they can still see. Even when it's dark, they can still see. Church, I said, even when things are dark, they can still see. Even when things are difficult, you can still see if you're soaring in the Lord. Come on, are you all awake this morning?
Yes.
Look at each other and say, open those eyes. For blinking... Now listen, for blinking, they have an inner eyelid called a nictitating membrane. Every 3 or 4 seconds, the nictitating membrane slides across the eye from the front to the back, wiping dirt and dust from their cornea. Because the membrane is translucent, the eagle can see even while that is over their eye. The eagle, I'm talking about eagle vision, the eagle has color vision. An eagle eye is almost as large as a human's eye, but its sharpness is at least 4 times the sharpness of a human eye. Even that person who has perfect vision, the eagle's eye is 4 times as sharp. The eagle can probably identify a rabbit moving almost a mile away. An eagle flying at an altitude of 1,000 feet over an open country could spot prey in an area of almost 3 square miles. Human eyes are positioned at the front of your head. We are given, and both work together like bifocals, or like binoculars rather, to focus together. Both eyes open provide a full sweeping, typically, even peripherally, about 180 degrees. An eagle eye is rotated toward the front of the head, and it's angled 30 degrees from the midline point on its face. And that allows an eagle to have a 340 degree field of vision. That's pretty amazing, don't you think?
Yes.
The ability to switch between things near or far clearly require quick changes in the lenses of the eye. That word is called accommodation. And eagles accommodate rapidly and very quickly. But human vision isn't nearly as adaptable. We age and we need what's called bifocals or trifocals. Some of us, those lines are hidden so you can't see. I got 16 focals. No. But do we have, church, here's your question. I spoke on this once before about myopic vision. Do we have long-range Or do we have myopic vision? The hindrance to personal and national revival is myopic vision. Have we become dull? Or is your vision growing, clarifying? When God's people cannot see, there's no direction. I want to talk about this for just a minute. You know what myopia is? How many know what myopia is? It's nearsightedness. Nearsightedness. You can focus up close, but distance is hard. I was a younger man and my kids were little, and we'd be out driving down the highway and I'd see a sign. There's a blob of green way up the road up there, and they're reading it. And I'm going, what? How do you know it said that? Because, well, Dad, it does. And we drive up to it, and I'm right on top of it. I go, oh, yeah, it does say that. Problem. Distance is hard. Now, most commonly, the impaired vision in people are less than 40. Let me interrupt that. Do you know that myopic vision, nearsightedness, is growing at an alarming pace? In the year 2000, 25% of adults in America, listen, 25% to 30% in the year 2000 had myopia, had nearsightedness. About 80%, this text said, of Asians had it. But you know, just even these many years later, it is alarmingly higher. That was in the early 70s. Let me repeat a different set of stats. There's a whole bunch of them. I'm not going to tell them to you all, but in 1970s, it was 25%, and it continued for a long time, up until about 2004. And then it went to 42%. In 2000, 25% of the world's population had myopia. By 2050, they expect it to be 50%. Now, the reason isn't clear. How many can think of some reasons why vision might be waning? Do you know what they did? They did some studies in Europe.
Computers?
Oh, well, yeah, computers. They did some studies in Europe, and you know what they found? Kids that played outside for a long time didn't have nearsightedness problems near as much. So what do you think's happened in the last 15, 20 years? You have the development of computers, a wonderful technology, but when kids are playing their video games and all sorts of things up close, I think it's making impact. That those are conclusions, kind of empirical data conclusions we can draw. But the point is, guys, it is mushrooming in a huge, huge rate. And I think spiritually there's a point to be made here. If we spend more time distracted by the world, what's happening? Problems right here and now, the nasty now and now of our own life, in our country. If we spend all our time enraged by what's happening right now, then seeing Jesus, we end up with myopic faith and we end up grounded instead of soaring in the Lord. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
It's true. When God's people can't see, I'm going to say it again, there's no direction. What happens when there's no direction? We focus on the darkness. And when we all see only the darkness, our heart wanders from faith in the Word of God. We stop looking at and saying to each other, be strengthened in the Lord, rise up in the Lord. The Word of God says this, by His stripes you were healed. We can walk with God. We can soar with God. We stop encouraging each other. And we kind of get this failure of power and a myopic nearsightedness. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, I'm going to read it in six translations, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. Out of the New King James, that was the King James. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Out of the New American Standard, where there's no vision, the people are what? Unrestrained. Look around in our country today. The New Living says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they what? Run wild. Out of the Message, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Out of the Passion, when there's no clear prophetic vision, people, I'd like you to say it with me, please, quickly wander astray. The word vision in the Hebrew here is a dream. a revelation, an oracle. There's no forward flight, no forward motion. We begin to be bogged down in daily life, and we become myopic, nearsighted. So I want to ask you this morning, along with me, I'm asking myself, what are you seeing? Sometimes, again, we get bogged down in the detail, or we slog through the issues. We fail to see the distance and the overarching purpose of Jesus in our lives. We need to then pray, God, make my vision like the eagle's vision. Come on, can you pray that? Make my vision like the eagle's vision. Help me to soar. Come on, help me to soar in flight with you. Help me to soar in flight with you. Now, if you want to stay like a chicken pecking the ground, you can. But don't expect vision that's kindled and a heart of faith to burn inside. Don't expect to track with what the Holy Spirit is saying, because you get all bound down in life. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you seeing Jesus? Do you want to see Him? I want to see Jesus. I don't want to just see a principle. It's good. Teaching's good. I want to see Jesus. I want to see His Word. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to fly with Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. Let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar. You know, there was a report in the Scriptures, and I remember the direction of the verse saying, what report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Someone say it with me. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Make a choice. Do you see Jesus? Do you have a hunger for His fresh outpouring? Do you have a vision for today and tomorrow? Well, Pastor Kevin, I'm retired. I don't have to have much vision anymore, do I? You bet you do. You bet you do. Fresh vision for what Jesus is doing, for what He's saying. God, dig up my ears. Let my heart beat entwined with yours. I want to soar with you. I want to be involved. Do you want your family saved? Do you want to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit again and again, and your family to be saved, and your children and your grandchildren to be saved? They need a grandparent then, or a parent who's fully alive in the Spirit of God, who's seeking and praying God, and praying and on your knees and crying out, oh God, show me what to do. How can I reach them? What can we do? And God will quicken something inside your spirit as He tells you what to say to your neighbor or your family. It's more than just a rote prayer. But Jesus, what are you doing and saying? I'm going to say something really straight. A lot of people talk about a rapture because they want to get out. Now listen, I'm not here to talk about a rapture this morning, but I am here to tell you that there are millions of people around this earth that if you get out, aren't going to hear the gospel. And they need you to tell them. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Who's going to help them? Lord, it's not that I want to get out. I want to see you get in. I want to see you get in. Amen. Jesus leads us beyond limited vision. We need to rise up with eagle vision. Mark 8, verses 14 to 21. Jesus' disciples, He's just finished feeding the, 7,000, and how many basketfuls of bread got picked up? How many remember? 12. And He feeds the 4,000. How many fragments get picked up in baskets? Seven more, I'm sorry. I know my Bible. You did good. I heard seven. But they get in the boat to go across after these great miracles happen. And He starts bringing this up, and the disciples look at each other and they go, oh man, you know, Bob disciple, did you bring the bread? Oh no, I didn't bring the bread. Barbara, did you grab the bread this morning? You got your P&J sandwich with you this morning? Come on. They're out in the boat and they're saying, oh man, He's going to be just so upset with us because, he's talking about, Jesus says, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? And they're looking at each other like us. I'm not being critical because this is like us. They look at each other and go, the leaven of the Pharisees. He's ticked because we didn't bring the loaves of bread with us. And that's how we see it in our own lives. He's upset with me because, or this didn't happen because, and Jesus stops him and he goes, guys, do you still not get it? That's what verse 21 literally means in the Greek. Do you still not get it? Is literally what it says in the Hebrew, and that's what it means. So he gives them, following, there's your context, he now gives them a living illustration. And I want you to see this through different eyes now. Mark 8, if you want to turn in your Bibles, to verses 22 to 25. Mark 8, 22 to 25. It's ahead of you too, but I want you to see it in your own Bibles. If you have your tablet, your phone, or your text with you this morning. I want you to watch this. See what he does here. Then he comes to Bethsaida. Mark 8, 22 to 25. And they brought a blind man to him. And he begged him to touch him. So he, meaning Jesus, verse 23, took the blind man by the hand and led him where?
Out of the village.
He led him where?
Out of the village.
Out of the town. Away from all the distractions and the nasty reality of all the now and now, where everybody is surrounding this guy saying, you're a blind guy, you can't do anything, where he's face to face with being blind and he can't live and he's caught up. Everybody knows him. He's been there since he was born. And we get all daily living all mucked up and it mucks up our faith. And so Jesus says, I hear your cry when you're calling out to me. Come on, let's get away from that. I've got something I want to do for you. And sometimes Jesus says, it's time for you, Eagle Saints, to rise up above that which you're bound by and allow me to do something for you that's different than your day by day. So he takes the blind man by the hand and leads him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And I want you to know the Lord's told me to spit on all your eyes this morning. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You never know what Pastor Kev's going to do. We're going to have a healing line. No. It's an old song. Beautiful song. Goes out of my innermost being, rivers of waters flow. Out of my innermost being, joy celestial flows. Out of my innermost being, out of his innermost being, that river or spittle comes. And he touches this man's eyes who cannot see. He's begging, God, open my eyes. And Jesus says, well, what it takes, Eagle Saints, is for you to come to me and let my living water flow into you. Spring up, O well. Let the Spirit of God move in you afresh. And I'll put this water over your eyes. And I'll change your life if you let me. And he asked him if he saw anything. It's very interesting. Do you know this is the only example of this kind in the Bible? He looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again, made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. Now, I want to ask you a really honest question. You think it really took Jesus two times of prayer to heal this guy? He's there, he can do anything. How many think this might be for us to learn something? more than it was a limitation to Jesus. He can do anything. But if the first time you pray, you don't get your answer, you're going to walk away and say it didn't happen?
No.
Hey, Lord, the reality is, this really is crazy. I'm going to describe this thing. I don't get this picture. I like a bunch of trees walking around. I'm sure those are people. But it's, Lord, I still don't get it. He goes, all I wanted you to do was just keep coming. All I wanted you to do was in your blindness, find out who your source of life is. Find out where the water of life is and keep coming. Eagle saints, you can look at each other and go, I was spiritual once. Didn't work out for me. He says, it's time to soar again. It's time to fly. Three stages of spiritual vision. Number one, blind. Some people are completely blind and absolutely do not know it. But there is no ability to see and no ability to understand. I just don't get it. If you've given your life to Jesus, but you haven't fully surrendered to Him, if you're not a disciple of the Lord, but your heart is to be entertained from the Lord, you're not going to be able to fully see what He's up to. And Jesus says, come on, disciples, rise up and fly. It's time to yield, surrender. If you want a nursemaid, a bunch of bad attitudes, and be offended at people all the time, go right ahead, but don't expect spiritual vision to be your portion. If you want to treat other people badly, you want to walk away from church and curse and be angry at everybody, okay. But don't expect spiritual vision. Because He says, I'm looking for those who have surrendered and are disciples. You know, the Bible says that, right? Go and make what? Disciples. How many disciples in the room this morning? I'm serious about this, Lord. He says, that's what I'm looking for. Because I heal blind eyes. You know the old song, right? I saw the light. I saw the... What are they talking about? My blind eyes opened. And I saw Jesus. But then there's partial blindness. You got full blindness, you got partial blindness. Seeing people, but I see people like trees walking. There's some ability to see, but I don't really have a full ability to perceive. I can't quite make out what Jesus is doing. Ever been partway in? Let me ask you a question. I've been here. I've been here. I just didn't read this in a book. Ever been partway in?
Yeah.
Where you ever learn how to swim by keeping one foot on the shore? I'm not getting anywhere. But sometimes it's like that. Huh? Come on. That Pastor Kevin's just way too serious. Jesus is the one who's serious about our faith and our walk with Him. And so He says, I want you to jump all the way in and start flying. Start flying. I got a new way for you to live. I've got new things for you to do. I'm not done with you. You look at Him and say, I'm retired. And He goes, oh, that means you're reflying. Because I got something to do with you. Faith to give you and new adventures. Some of you go, I don't want a new adventure. He's full of new adventure, new life, new help, new hope. And some of this old stuff that we don't get, He says, come on, fly. You remember the old song? I'm full of songs this morning. How's that song go? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full of His wonderful face. And the things of earth grow
strangely
to Him. In the light of what?
His glory and grace.
His glory and grace. It doesn't matter what the frustrations may be. He's big enough to walk through them with you. He's big enough to fly over them with you. partial blindness, terrible place to be. Not sold out enough to Jesus, but I sure don't want the world. Right? Come on. I don't want to really be sold out to Jesus. I don't want to be a freak. But I sure don't want to go all the way headlong into the world. That middle ground is a terrible place to be. Sell out to Jesus. What's the answer? Partial blindness. Keep praying. Keep coming to Jesus. Jesus, I don't see it right yet. Does that describe any area of your life this morning? Doesn't mine. I don't see it yet, Lord. Keep praying. And then number three, healed vision. You got blindness, partial blindness, and healed vision, eagle vision. Ability to see because Jesus has healed and opened your eyes. You've surrendered all the way, and you want what he wants. So then, to see like Jesus, you got to mount up with wings as eagles. Isaiah 40 says it again. Verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the word there in the Greek for wait means to bind together by twisting. Now, if you scratch Pastor Sherry a little bit, what comes out is intimacy with Jesus, where we're bound together by twisting.
Amen.
Where we're twisted up in him.
Amen.
And we let the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Come on, church, doesn't something burn in your heart this morning? Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. I want to fly with you. I want to go where you want me to go. You lay down your confusion and you pick up his grace. I exchange my lack of strength and pick up your presence. To renew. Now, renew means change or exchange. Would you all raise your hands to Jesus this morning? And in your mind's eye, see every problem you have in your hands, and now just give it to him. Lord, we give it all to you. Now, put your hands in a receptive mode, like this, where you go, I receive you. Come on, I receive you, Jesus. I receive your strength. I receive your vision, your heart. I exchange the old, and I receive the new. Come on, say it with me. I exchange the old, and I receive the new. And you begin to soar with him. And the Bible says runners aren't weary and exhausted, and walkers aren't tired out, and flyers begin to soar. And life's no longer about you. It's about Jesus and his purposes and his heart. And this walk isn't about your condemnation or shame or confusion. It's about celebrating him. And because the Bible says, if you then, and in the Greek it literally means, since you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which what? Come on, real loud. Which are what? So if you're going to see him and receive him, you got to get up above where they are. Someone say amen or oh no. You got to soar into the heavenlies with him where Christ is. Where are you going to find Jesus? In the heavenlies. Sitting at the right hand of God. So what do? You set your mind on things above. Not on things on the earth. For you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now Isaac had to redig his dad's wells because they'd gotten all clogged up with the world and the sand and the clay. And he had to get all that junk out of there so the water could freely flow again. So the streams of life could flow in the presence of God. And he dug them out. And they flowed afresh. And then he sunk new wells. New living waters came. So Lord, even this morning, we take our eyes off you, or off of us, rather. Whole point of the message, not to take our eyes off him. We take our eyes off ourselves. And we put them on Jesus. Lord, we put them on you. Spring up, O well, with fresh eagle vision. Would you stand with me, please? Spring up, O well, with fresh eagle vision. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who does all things well in our lives, and we put our trust in you. You're the God who wants us to soar into the heavenlies, and we've got the opportunity to see in fresh ways and to believe you for fresh things. We leave behind the frustrations of this life. We know you've got it all in control. So we put our trust into your hands. Lord, let our springing up wells bubble up to overflowing. Amen?
Amen.
And we put our trust in you in Jesus' name. Now pray with me. Lord Jesus,
I choose to soar with you.
I open my eyes. And see you. And I let the things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. The song goes, say the words with me, would you please? Great is your love. Again, great is your love. Higher than the heavens, reaching to the sky. Be exalted. Be exalted above the heavens and above my life. Lord, hear our cry this morning. We love you so much, and we choose to soar like eagles. Quicken the vision within our own lives, and we put our trust in you in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Raise your hands for the blessing, would you please? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Bless your people, Lord, as they go from this place as soaring eagles. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be